Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Christopher Lane, author of the novel Screens. Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jeff. I'm glad to be here.
Sure. If someone hasn't heard about your novel Screens yet, how would you describe the novel?
So the novel is a bit hard to describe, but I guess the best way to put it is we live in an era of digital media and conspiracy theories, and that's very much what the book is about. The book is about the consumption and the mass consumption, and what I posit in the book is the addiction that we, most of us, have to digital media and the conspiracy theories that have seemed to have risen up out of this virtual world. And the book very much talks about the feeling of conspiracy theories and the feeling of digital addiction, the feeling of being unable to tear yourself away from your phone, your inability to stop looking at these devices that at one time were rather rare. Maybe we had one television in our home, or maybe we had one PC, but now everywhere we turn, these devices are. And the book is very much about that feeling of these devices, these screens everywhere we turn, as well as a pervading sense of conspiracy theory that we find ourselves surrounded nowadays with conspiracy theories. It seems like people believe almost anything nowadays. And that sense of something is going on that we don't want to imagine is happening, that is very much what the book is about.
Gotcha. Do you remember the original impetus or idea that led you to write Screens?
Yeah, very much. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Screens is an independent novel, but it is also part of this series of novels and novellas that I've been working on over the past, I'd say, about 7-8 years, called Seven Coins Drowning. And the Seven Coins Drowning series, there's one for each of the seven deadly sins. So I've written the first three, and I really was happy with what I had done, but they were very much novellas. They were smaller pieces. I really enjoyed writing them. They were dark and creepy, and I felt they were a unique take on each of the seven deadly sins. And I was saying to somebody the other day, they very much felt like Twilight Zone episodes or Outer Limits episodes, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And so I had a lot of fun with them. So anyway, about 18 years ago, my family and I moved out of San Francisco and moved overseas. We moved to Wellington, New Zealand, and that's where I live now. But the company that I started here, we have offices in the U.S., and our office is in Chicago, and we also have an office down in San Diego. So I happened to be over in the States. I was in Chicago first, and I was going to San Diego, but I thought I'd take a little time. I hadn't been back to San Francisco, really. Thought I'd take, I don't know, a couple of days to myself and just be back in San Francisco. I grew up there. It was my home. I felt a lot of connection to it. And this is probably around 2015. Anyway, I'm on a Muni train, which is the public transit system through San Francisco. I'm on a Muni train. I'm looking around and I realize that I'm on this train and the only people who are not gawking into a phone are me and this old woman who's sitting by herself reading a book. And it just hit me, an epiphany. I was looking around at everybody and the blank expression and the mouth slightly agape, staring into their phones and clicking buttons and the zombie-like autonomic manner in which people were staring at these phones really freaked me out. And this voice in my head, this sort of twisted muse, said, "You've got your next book." And that was it. All these different things that I had been churning over as an idea for my next book fell into place with that one moment. Now, to be fair, I wrote the first draft of Screens in less than 3 months. It was a novella, and I put it down and I read it back to myself about a month after I'd written it. And yeah, it was very much not what I wanted. It wasn't bad. It was just short. It fell flat. And over the next 5 years, that was going to be the journey I was going to take. I was going to work on that book again and again until I finally, after what ended up being a 4-year period, wrote the entire book, wrote and edited and re-edited and redrafted the book.
What was your writing journey before you wrote your first novel or novella? Had you always written?
Yeah, I started writing really young. I got into writing when I was probably, I'm going to say 9, 9 years old, I remember telling stories to my friends that we would go to the movies and we'd see some movie, whatever it was. I'm old enough to have been to say that when I was 9 years old, that's when Star Wars came out. Well, we'd go see fantasy movies or sci-fi movies, and then I was really into that. And then I would tell my friends stories about ideas that I had. And I remember that feeling of being really excited about telling other people stories and how much I enjoyed it. And then what I found was that telling them the story wasn't enough, that I wanted to hear more of the story myself. And so I would start to tell the story to myself and then write it down. And it kind of went from there. Studied literature in school, both in high school and then in university. And I studied writing. And then my entire life, while I've had a Joe job, like pretty much all writers do, I have written my entire life. And so writing has always been in and out of my life in one way or another.
Gotcha. And you talked about writing screens earlier. What was the writing process when you were working on it initially? Did you outline the novel extensively, or are you more of an organic writer to see where the story goes?
That's a great question. So I've gone through the traditional writing school path where you write the outline and lay it out piece by piece, and you follow that outline from beginning to end, filling in each of the pieces, you define each of your characters. I've gone through that whole process. It's fine. And it can work. And I don't ever dissuade somebody from following it, because it is good advice and it is very much a great path, particularly for certain types of books. It's a great way to organize your thinking, that particularly for new writers, it can be quite daunting that you're like, yeah, I'm going to start writing a book, and you start typing away and you get halfway through and you're like, I don't know where to go with this. I don't know where this is headed. So outlining in the traditional path of writing a novel or writing a novella or a short story, whatever, is a great way to get started. My process is a little different now because I've been down that road and done that before. So I actually have a series of articles on Medium that I've written about writing. And one of them is about this very subject. And my process goes like this. So I start at the beginning with a character, and they're in a specific situation, right? Whatever that situation is. And I think in the article I wrote, it was very much about this woman who finds herself transformed into a duck. So this woman, she's transformed into a duck. We know a little bit about why she's been transformed into a duck, but there she is. She's a duck. And the end of the story is her no longer a duck. And what are her feelings about not being a duck anymore? She's sad about it. She can't fly anymore, but she's happy because she's reunited with her family. Mixed feelings, what have you. And then all I really ask of the person is to understand where you started.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Emotionally, like, where is your character beginning emotionally? And where is your character ending, both physically and emotionally? What are those two endpoints that we're looking at? And if you can do that, then the pieces in between that's up to you. You follow that path where it takes you. And that's not going to be a clean path, because with an outlined style of writing, you very much know who all the characters are, very much who the spots in the narrative are. You understand all that. But this is a much more organic process. The one thing that I did do, and which I recommend for people who want to try a different path of writing, is really get to know who that person is. Really get to feel who they are as a person, what they look like, what they dress, what they eat, what their feelings are, the kinds of things that they do in their day-to-day lives. Because the more you can understand that, the more you're going to get those creative juices flowing. Much like actors follow that method acting, in many ways, it's similar to that you understand the beginning, you understand the end, you really get to know the person before you start writing, and just let it take you where it takes you. And that was very much the process for Screens.
Got it. So are you working on another novel now?
I am. Yeah, I actually am. My new novel is, it's not a sequel to Screens. It's very much a completely independent novel. like I said, all of the stories in the Seven Coins Drowning series, they're all separate and distinct pieces. But because I'm one of those writer, reader nerds, I like to put sly little winks to the other stories. So, yeah. So the first one has a little nod to the second one. The second one has a nod to the first one, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm working on the fifth book. And while it's not a sequel, it has a lot of connections to Screens.
Got it. Given your writing thus far and the novels that you've published, what writing advice would you offer for those listeners who are working on their own stories and novels?
I guess the only advice that most writers would give, or the one main piece of advice that I think most writers would give to either new writers or writers who are struggling to get through a piece, is don't give up. Whatever. Don't give up. It's so easy to give up. It's so easy to feel discouraged that nobody from trying to get your family and friends to read your book, which is, I don't understand why that's such a difficult task, but it can be, to edits and rewrites, to rejections. It all can feel very discouraging. And the act of writing and editing can feel quite discouraging. You work really hard on a book. You read it later. You're like, this isn't really what I want. I've already rewritten it twice. God, do I really want to rewrite this thing again? If you ultimately, deep down inside, feel like that piece is still worth its value, still worth its weight in gold, then don't give up on it. Keep trying, keep going, keep pushing, because it can feel daunting and it can feel like the world kind of pushes back against you as a writer. But if you really, truly feel like that piece has value, don't give up. Keep going with it.
That's good advice. Yeah. So what novels or nonfiction books have you read recently that you enjoyed?
Oh, gosh, there's a whole bunch of them. Gosh, I wish I had my Kindle because I've got so many of them and I don't want to screw up with these names. One second, Jeff. Let me just see if I can.
Sure.
Top of my list here. Let's go, little computer. Do your magic. There we go. So I've always been a very big fan of, yeah, this shit. So I've always been a very big fan of the writer Hermann Hesse. I'm sure you're familiar with who that is. Hermann Hesse was a German writer in the 30s. So I've been rereading all of his work. I just finished rereading Journey to the East. Let's see. I'm reading Just So by Alan Watts. It's one of Alan Watts's many books. And for people who've never read Alan Watts, I can't recommend him highly enough. He's had a bit of a resurgence in the last couple of years, and I'm not sure why, but it's great. As far as other fiction writers, right now I'm reading a couple of things. So I'm reading A Cosmology of Monsters by Sean Hamill, which is, it's great. It's really creepy, and I won't read it at night. Let's see here. I'm reading by Hugh Thomas. He wrote A Complete History of the Spanish Civil War, which has been a tough read because he's a really dense writer, but his work is great. Let's see, what else have I been reading? Oh, this one I recommend. There's two that I really recommend as far as fiction. The two that I would really recommend fiction-wise that I've read really recently is To Rouse Leviathan by Matt Carden. That is a very interesting book. I don't know if you know if you've read that book.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, so To Rouse Leviathan is a cosmic horror it's cosmic horror mixed with religious studies. So he does an amazing, Matt Carden, and who's the other person on the book? I'm trying to remember. But anyway, Matt Carden is the main author, and I can't remember who designed his cover. It's a really creepy, cool cover. But the book is very much a combination of cosmic horror mixed with sort of religious studies, that these various figures find themselves who are religious in one way or another. But they find themselves, as they go through their religious studies, they find themselves trapped in these horrific moments. And it's not so much cosmic horror or Lovecraftian horror in the sense that there's lots of references to Cthulhu and Lovecraft's monsters, though there is some of that. But it's very much about cosmic horror as an epiphany. And I was really drawn in by his book. I absolutely loved it. Let's see. What's her name? I think it's Becky Chambers, The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet. It's a sci-fi novel. That one's amazing. Becky Chambers, wow. What a great job she does of creating not just characters, but their relationships. They feel really solid and real, not to mention it's a great sci-fi read. So yeah, I've been reading that. And just trying to think, there was something else that I wanted to... Oh, that's right. There are two others. Yeah. So the other two of them are, there's a novella by a guy named Cameron Blackwell. I'm reading his book called The Crystal Eggs. It's sort of, how do I explain this? It's retro sci-fi, like that old Buck Rogers kind of style. It's interesting piece of work. I'm really enjoying that. And then I'm reading a couple of cookbooks. One of them is the classic American Jewish Deli. Oh, and finally, I'm rereading Planet of the Apes by Pierre Buell.
That's great. Where can people find you online if they want to learn more about you and your novels?
Yeah, usual places. So for example, you can find me on Facebook, all the social media stuff, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm on Medium. And my handle is Domingo, D-O-M-I-N-G-O, Ladrone, L-A-D-R-O-N, Domingo Ladrone, one big word. Domingo Ladrone, for those who don't speak Spanish, means the Sunday thief, which I thought was a interesting title. And the reason I use the name is it's a name of one of my characters. You can also go to my website. My website is ChristopherLane.net.
Great. Yeah. Again, we've been speaking with Christopher Lane, author of the new novel Screens. The novel is on sale now, so go buy a copy. And Chris, thanks for doing this interview.
Oh, Jeff, thank you. It's been fantastic, man. Thank you so much.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.